Mornings on FM just sounds better. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 8 o'clock. Bill Ingram, NBA analyst, senior NBA analyst for Basketball Insiders, is joining us now. He's been on the show before. Lance, I think this is the first time that you've talked to Bill, though. We had him on before you got back here. Bill is he is a real Rockets guy. He's at The Rocket Guy on Twitter. Bill, why don't you introduce, for those of you and anybody that doesn't know here, you were in Houston. What's your association with Houston? Did you grow up here?
Yeah, I grew up, I didn't know what the NBA was really until Hakeem Olajuwon was drafted. I was a sophomore in high school when that happened, and all of a sudden I went, what is this NBA thing? And pretty soon I had a basketball goal in the driveway, and I was emulating the Dream Shake, not nearly as well as Hakeem, but, you know, as kids do. Became a lifelong avid. Well, Daryl Morey almost cured me of being a Rockets fan. But have always been an avid follower of the team. Got to know Hakeem quite well later as I became an analyst with the league. And my blood does still bleed Rockets red.
Where did you go? Where did you go to high school here?
Westbury.
Westbury. Nice. Nice.
So you got to know
Rebels,
Dream?
But there's something else now because Rebels got canceled, I think.
Yeah. They're Westbury non-Rebels. You got to know Dream, huh?
Yeah, I made a point of always including him in my coverage, did some stuff for different magazines, of course, HoopsWorld.com. Anytime I could bring him into a conversation, I did, because there's far too little talk about him. When you think about the great players, there's always Michael, Larry, Magic, and Kareem. Those are great players, Oscar, Bill Russell. But the way Olajuwon redefined the center position in a way that there are still rippling effects in the NBA today, the entire global game of basketball changed because of the way Hakeem was able to play the traditional big man role, but was also so versatile and could do so many things, dribble, you know, shoot, with a great free throw shooter, the whole package. And we still see players today that are the players they are because of the way Hakeem changed the big man game. So yep. He was working with Kobe, LeBron, Dwight Howard, and every time he worked with one of those guys, I'd call up his press lady. And finally, he just invited me over to his house, and we did this big thing on all the guys he'd worked with, and it was great. And he's really an incredible person off the court, as well as one of the most dominant forces on the court when he was playing. So just a great guy and a tremendous person to have in the history of your franchise.
Absolutely. Oh, no. The Dream is awesome. Bill Ingram with us here, senior NBA analyst for Basketball Insiders. Let's talk a little Rockets basketball now. For an overall view, what do you think of the direction and what Rafael Stone has done this offseason with this basketball team?
Well, I think the writing was on the wall when they, not to include John Wall there, but I think when you move off Westbrook, then the whole ugly thing with Harden, it was time to rebuild. And they had kind of an accelerated path because, of course, you land the top pick, the second pick in the draft, draft a guy who's already telling everybody he should have been the top pick. He's going to be rookie of the year. He was tremendous in Vegas. You've got already a cast of really good young players. Christian Wood was phenomenal when he was really healthy last year. I think when you look at a team that's going to spend the year building a culture, and that's the most important thing the Rockets can do this year, they've got to establish who they are in the locker room. And if you have a winning culture, that will translate into wins on the court. Probably not so many this year, although I think they could be a 35 to 40 win team. But 2 to 3 years down the line, the culture is established. You get some experience behind all these 19-year-old guys. They figure out who they are, and it's going to be very exciting to watch that. I'm not a guy who enjoys the free agent chase. I don't like watching a team that's been built because LeBron recruited all these people and KD recruiter. That's cheating to me. I don't enjoy that. I don't mind banging a trash can once in a while, but totally just skipping the rebuild process like that, that's cheating. In my view, I'd rather watch what the Rockets are doing, which is start with your draft picks, develop your picks, bring in a tweak free agent here and there, and let them grow together and become something magical on the court.
I'm with you on that.
And like Golden State did it.
Well, and I mean,
it took a while, but yeah.
They did do it that way, and like the Suns have done it, and like the Bucks have done it. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's
Utah.
There's a lot of teams. That's still the way. That's still a way that it can be done. Of course, the very best players usually win the championships. But, you know, Bill, I'm with you here. The Rockets, to me, have a great opportunity. I love the Jalen Green selection. But at the same time, I do think it's going to be important because they're so young and impressionable that you do have the right culture. And to do that, I think you need veterans. And I'm wondering how the culture is going to be created, because I think they'll try to ship Eric Gordon out of there as quickly as they can and get that off the books. But at some point, you need some leadership in there, and that's probably going to have to come from veteran players. And will younger players who are better listen to veteran players who maybe aren't on the same level as them? I mean, I wonder how the Rockets are going to handle that.
Well, I'll tell you the same thing I used to tell Sam Hinkie. We would sit down in the VIP lounge before games every so often, and I would try to point out things.
I said, he appreciated that.
They were courting Chris Bosh. And when they met with Chris Bosh, I said, so who was in the meeting? Well, it was me and Daryl. And I'm like, okay, let me get this straight. You're trying to recruit a top free agent, and you don't have you have Hakeem Olajuwon, who lives 20 minutes from the building, and Clyde Drexler works for the team. They are not in the meeting. Where you establish that culture, to me, if I'm the owner of the team, you, Hakeem and Clyde are in the building with those guys. Maybe not on the coaching staff. I don't think either one of them wants that. But you have them there as a presence in the room. Because those guys, I go talk to young players now, and they don't even know who Hakeem was. So I pull up a video of highlights, and they're falling all over themselves, dropping onto the floor, rolling, going, because he was... You bring in the culture, the winning culture, the championship culture. You include those guys in the conversation. Yes, you know, Eric Gordon will be, I'm sure he's going to be an all-star. What do we still need? Rebounding? You know, what can we get? Because he's ready to compete for a championship, and he's at the end of his career. Yes, you will add veteran presences who come in like Shane Battier-type players who are incredible, you know, in the locker room. And I liken it to Moneyball with David Justice. You know, like, look, the Yankees are paying you to play against them. You can either be a veteran presence here, or, you know, you can still get paid to go out on the field, or you can not. And so I think you bring in a veteran voice, but the culture, to me, the championship culture of the team was Hakeem and then Hakeem and Clyde. You bring those guys in. That's they're there. They live there. That's how you do it.
Bill Ingram with us, senior NBA analyst for Basketball Insiders on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm of the opinion you just buy John Wall out. Why would you give up? You're going to have to give up some first round picks to get rid of that contract. Why would you do that instead of just buying him out? Maybe for less. Maybe you can get out of that $91 million for about 70. What do you think? How do you think the Rockets should handle this?
Well, first of all, he doesn't want to be bought out, and you can understand why. That second year in particular, I think it's $47 million. Crazy number. And where is he really going to get that? Missed a couple of years, had that bad injury. He looked good at times last season. Obviously, the Rockets were not trying to load him up with a bunch of minutes looking at younger guys. But I don't think if a buyout was an option, I think they'd do it. But do you buy him out for the full value of the contract?
No, but nah, it's 91.
You wait and see.
It's 91 million, Bill. And if you can give him 70, he can make 20 over the next couple of years somewhere.
Yeah, he could, but again, he doesn't, at least right now, we'll see what happens. He doesn't want to do that right now. And I think you're going to have teams that need that. I'd say in Denver, Jamal Murray's out for a while. Somebody's going to lose a point guard and need one and go, okay, we'll send you whatever the Rockets want to ask for.
Don't give up the one. I'm with you, John. I'm just not interested. Daryl Morey and Rafael Stone now have led the league in giving up ones. Let's hang on to some ones and not have to give up ones for this bad contract. The Chris Paul contract has already spiraled out of control into, you've made it worse and worse and worse and worse. He played in an NBA Finals. You've ended up giving up tons of draft picks because of it. You know, it's just deal with it. I'm almost of the opinion, just deal with it. Let him go. Him and Deshaun can hang out and just collect money.
I don't. If it's me, if I'm John Wall's agent, that's the tune I'm singing. I'm just saying at this point, they're not singing that tune. Yeah, absolutely. The best thing for both is to buy him out and let him go play on a team that's going to be a playoff team.
So how do you see this rotation going? With Green, Porter, you got a lot of guys that are, and if John Wall is still here, how much time do you even give him? Which I don't think he won't be here. Some way that works itself out. Shingun, I mean, you got some talent. Christian Wood, I mean, you got some talent out there, young talent, and it's, you know, obviously uncultivated, but this isn't going to be, they're not bereft of talent. It should be a fun team to watch.
No, absolutely. The thing I love is you have guys who can play multiple positions. You have very few guys on the team can't play. In fact, when you look at the depth chart for the team, guys appear in two and three columns. And that's so important in the modern NBA, where you've got to match up with a lot of different things, a lot of different sizes, bigger players, as we talked about, a team's influence. Bigger players are doing more things with the ball. You know, in the modern league, a king could have probably played small forward. The way you look at LeBron and Ben Simmons, who want to play point guard, you know, very big guys who have got the skills of the smaller players. So having guys that can play, you know, Kevin Porter Jr., I'm assuming is going to be the starting point guard. He can also play the two. Jalen Green can play two, three positions. It's going to be so huge. Plus, you know, Daniel Tice, you've got presences inside at the four and five. You've got shooters. You've added tremendous defenders over the summer. These young guys really look fantastic in Vegas. I think they've got all the pieces. The thing that's just missing is that the chemistry that comes over time and the culture they're going to build together.
How about getting Ben Simmons? You want him?
No, I really don't.
Good. That's same.
That's one of those moves. If I'm Minnesota, I'm interested in Ben Simmons because you've already got a couple of stars. They don't play any defense. He would bring defense. But do you want it? We just got rid of a guy who decided he couldn't get along with teammates and didn't like this and didn't like that. And that's what's going on with Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons also is not a veteran leader. He has not shown in Philadelphia the ability to be a leader at all. He's not interested in the role. And if he were a Shane Battier-esque type leader, an Andre Iguodala type leader, then you go, okay, this is somebody who could help establish our culture. But he's not going to help establish the culture. He's going to take minutes away from better shooters, number one. I don't like guys in any situation. Harden did this. I don't like guys who say, no, I'm not going to play for you. I don't care how much you pay me. I don't want to be here. It's like a tantrum is being thrown. Please, please, please. We don't need another dose of that in Houston anytime soon.
No, we don't. 813, Bill Ingram, from NBA, senior NBA analyst for Basketball Insiders here on ESPN 97.5. Just a little update on your Houston Rockets. Is there already getting underway? It is here, basketball season around the corner, and your Rockets, could be fun to watch. Could be fun to watch this year. Bill, we appreciate you hanging with us, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, always a pleasure, guys.
All right, there is Bill Ingram right here, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. When we come back, we got some more football to talk from this weekend, and then at the bottom of the hour, Bob Nightingale is going to join us to talk about the Astros and the playoff situation. So we got that coming your way here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, I want to talk about your performance not up to snuff. If it's not, nobody's perfect. Okay, it's okay. You know, you're going to make a bogey here and there. You're going to strike out with men on base. That's okay. And if you're coming up short in the bedroom, sometimes you're going to not be all that great. Well, GetRoman.com/John can certainly help. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. That's a key. You don't have to take off work. You can do it anytime. After work, you could go on your laptop. It's not embarrassing. You will talk to a U.S. licensed healthcare professional. And if treatment is the best treatment is medication, it ships free to you with two-day shipping. Whole process is straightforward and discreet. GetRoman.com/John. Go to GetRoman.com/John now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/John. Get started now. Save $15 on your first month of treatment. GetRoman.com/John.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 8:17 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's talk a little college basketball, college football. You mentioned the Aggies in our new segment of one sentence. What you learned over the weekend? I bet on Arkansas because I knew.
The number made no sense. Honestly.
There was nothing that I saw out of the Aggies and watching Arkansas and watching the Aggies this year. Arkansas was just a better team.
It looked like they had the wrong favorite on the board.
Yeah, they did.
They had a reputation bet.
Yep.
They had a reputation line with the Aggies when the reality is their offensive line is really not been good, and they were once again not good. Is that Calzada? If there was honestly a quarterback battle between Calzada and Haynes King, then that's terrifying to me because Calzada has not been anywhere near good enough to carry that offense. And I do think, you know, that Arkansas beating of Texas – I think this says more about Arkansas necessarily than it does Texas. Texas has their holes. They scored however many 70 this week. They crushed Texas Tech. But right now, A&M simply does not have enough offense, and it's because their offensive line is not playing well enough, and they can't get CJ Spiller going. I mean Isaiah Spiller going if they don't block it up a little better. And Jimbo's going to have to find a way to have less Calzada and more running game.
Yeah. He had 95 yards, but 67 of them came on one run.
Mm-hmm.
So the other 11 runs basically didn't produce anything.
Less
28
yards. Yeah.
On 11 carries. So that's not good.
Barry Odom's defense, you just knew. You saw what they did against Bijan Robinson. Barry Odom knows how to scheme up defenses. And then, you know, offensively. Now, the Aggies defense, they hung in.
They hung in,
and then they hurt the quarterback.
Yeah.
And then the backup quarterback
had a questionable hit.
Yeah, it was a little late.
Yeah,
a little late. And then you had the backup quarterback had no chance. He was just chicken with his head cut off running around. You knew they were there for the – you had your opportunity once the starting quarterback went out. You knew you had an opportunity, but you just couldn't do anything offensively. I mean, the Aggies just Arkansas's a legit team. The job that Sam Pittman has done in just 2 years to turn that team around is nothing short of astonishing.
No, they're good. It's a good football team. And actually, we thought that the Aggie A&M game was going to be the big one to see early in the season. It's actually going to be Arkansas and Alabama.
Yeah.
That's going to be kind of a war.
Yeah, I think Aggies are in some trouble against Alabama.
Yeah. No, you can't block it up.
Yeah, I don't know how the offensive line is going to all of a sudden magically get better. Like, they have talent. Jimbo said it's the most talented that he's had.
Boy.
But my goodness, they have not come together.
They really haven't. You know, Malik Hornsby is he's a guy that grew up here. He and A-Chain went to the same high school.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So it out of Missouri City, yeah. So he was like oh yeah, I got to run. I thought they were doing the Wildcat. I did. I thought
he was running around so much.
Why did they just put a running back there? And
oh, it's not. It's a quarterback.
That's a quarterback.
He's just running a lot.
He's just running around a lot. And you mentioned Texas. Texas looked really good, beating the snot out of Texas Tech. And that's what Texas should do.
Casey Thompson is the better option.
He's the answer.
He's the better option right now.
He absolutely is the answer.
Now, I wonder if they're going to try to, pull the old, we got to get Hudson Card in the game trick to try to keep him
there.
Well,
they did at the end.
They did.
It was 63 to 30.
They did, but, you know, Hudson Card's going to be one of these guys who I understand it, but if you're Texas, you want to keep them both there. But to do that, you're going to have to really give him an opportunity to think he's going to get some playing time, and I don't know how they're going to handle it.
Because
the bottom line is, you got to be as good as you can every snap. And if Casey Thompson gives you that chance, then you stick with Casey.
Well, and if I'm Card after that performance on Saturday, I know I'm not getting on the field anytime soon. And but here's the deal, though. If I'm Sark, I got to keep Card because Casey Thompson could take a hit. Casey Thompson is an athletic guy that's going to, you know, he's going to mix it up trying to run the football some, and you know what? You never know when that happens. That you know, you might need a Hudson Card before this thing is all said and done. And hopefully Hudson Card will be better than he was against Arkansas. But let's face it, when watching Arkansas, I mean, Hudson Card lost his job against Arkansas. It was no shame. Now, he wasn't good, don't get me wrong, but it is no shame losing to Arkansas this year. That's for sure. That they're a good defense. That's a punch you in the mouth team, that Arkansas team.
They are. And that's an O-line coach who's the head coach. And Kendall Briles, you know, you got to love what Kendall does. Kendall basically, and I get all the individual personal stuff with Baylor. I get it if you're pissed about that. I'm just saying from a football standpoint, what they do, there's still elements of what Baylor would do, which is literally they try, like he would have four wide receivers on one side and he'd have one on the other side. And they're split as far apart as possible. And he basically says, you're the weak defender, and we're going after that single guy on the other side where there's no safety help, and we're going over the top, and we're going to take our shots like that. And he tries to isolate the weak defender and attack the weak defender. It's just smart football.
Yeah.
That's basically like the idea of analytics where you say, all right, well, we are going to – analytics is about doing the thing that makes the most sense and has the greatest percent chance for success, and that's attacking the weakest defender. It really is in any sport.
Any sport.
If you could face Martin Maldonado every at bat, you would. You'd face him every at bat, and you'd skip Bregman and Yordan. You'd do that. Well, if they find Martin Maldonado at their cornerback, they're going to go after him.
Yeah.
You know.
No. That's what a good coordinator. Not just we do what we know. Go find an advantage and exploit it. That's good coaching right there. Clemson's done.
They're done-ski.
Done. I mean, I thought they were done before this game, but it is official. They're just not very good. And Dabo after the game was like, wow, we haven't been in this position in a while. That it's just not a very good football. It's bad football team offensively. And now I'm going to tell you what. I'm in a big proponent of a 12 team playoff, but there shouldn't be more than two teams in the playoff this year. I take that back. Oregon.
There's usually only
Oregon should be there. They went to Ohio State and had a big win.
Up to this point, yeah. I usually think there's if you look at it over the years, there's usually three teams that deserve it, and you're figuring out the fourth team. I think eight is too much, but I'd be willing to go. I think six is manageable because you've got the ability to have a play-in type of situation, a wild card, if you will. Eight to me is too much. 12 is way too much. There's just not enough good teams. And Oklahoma,
boy,
barely squeak by. And
how about they're already changing. Calling for the backup?
Nothing's changing. In Ohio State, in Oklahoma, did you see the video? I've been told this about Spencer Rattler, that he was the least likable person in the history of the world on QB1, the series. Did you see that video?
I saw the video.
Nikki and Tori told me about it. They had watched it. And
He was such an a-hole. Is that the Caleb that's backing him up right now?
I don't know.
Maybe. No, probably not, because that kid's a freshman.
No,
so
maybe not,
there's
yeah.
like there was a, this, if you haven't seen this video, it was for QB 11, the Elite 11, mm-hmm. or whatever it is.
Yeah, QB 1 is the show.
QB 1
is Elite.
The show.
Yeah, I think it's
Spencer
Elite.
Rattler was such an a-hole, just crushing this other quarterback about how much he sucks. And we got to find it, and we can play some of it. Boy, you want to talk about just – well, he's getting his due now. He's coming off the field at Oklahoma in the third or fourth game of the season, and they're calling for Caleb. We want Caleb, the freshman quarterback that's his backup, that's supposed to be spectacular. But, man, Spencer Rattler, who's a Heisman, and Kirk Herbstreit was like, dude, this guy was a Heisman candidate just at the start of the season. Yeah, we're in week four, and they're calling for the backup.
I didn't see it last year. Like, he doesn't look like this special player to me. He's got some ability, but he never puts it together over like three straight games. He just doesn't. And right now you look, I'm telling you, where's the quarterback class? Malik Willis had some good that they got upset by Syracuse. But Malik Willis had some plays that got people excited. This is not the quarterback class right now that you want to be involved in if you're the Houston Texans. No. It's just not. There's nothing that's popping for you right now at quarterback.
Might be okay to be the fifth or sixth pick this year. Time for you to talk about TGS Insurance. And when we come back, Bob Nightingale to talk playoff baseball with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Text the word money to 232323. Do it right now, because what they're going to do is they'll ask you what your address is. You'll give it to them, and an automated system will run the algorithms and get back to you within 15 seconds. You'll have a firm quote on homeowners insurance. And this is not some kind of bait and switch situation where you, okay, let me see what this is really about. It's what the quote is. They've aggregated a variety of A-rated insurance companies, and it's very, very simple. What they like to do is take the lowest rates they can find, competitive rates, and allow you to compare them to what you're paying right now. And if you're someone who has paid, you know, has been with the same company for year after year after year, you're going to find that, you know, you really should have been shopping rates a long time ago, because they continue to raise the rates on you, and you're spending more of your money than you need to. Get A-rated insurance at lower rates when you shop your insurance through TGS Insurance. Go to tgsinsurance.com or text the word money to 232323.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, it's 8:31 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's bring in Bob Nightingale, USA Today Sports, Major League Baseball columnist. He's been doing this forever, and he is one of the best. Bob, welcome to the show. How are you?
Yeah, doing great, thanks.
We appreciate you being here. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on. We got to talk about our Astros first here. And a tough weekend, Bob, and the bullpen is a problem. The Astros, nationally, do you view do you think the Astros have a shot not only to get to the World Series, but possibly beat the Giants or the Dodgers in the World Series?
They certainly have a shot. I mean, you know, everybody in the tournament, you know, has a shot. You know, they haven't been playing good baseball, but, you know, Chicago White Sox, and that's who they played the first round. So, I mean, they've been there, they've done that. So, you know, I think the Astros will be fine come playoff time.
The bullpen is a problem, though, for the Astros, and has been a problem all year long. They tried to – I got to give it up, James Click. He worked on it, but it just has not – and it's been the Astros' problem even through this nice run that they've had. This bullpen has always been a problem, Bob.
Yeah, it's a shame. And, you know, we'll see what happens come playoffs. Sometimes guys turn it up. You know, even the Chicago White Sox, for instance, I mean, it looked like they had a slam dunk, you know, bullpen, and they've struggled. Even, you know, Craig Kimbrell hasn't been, you know, what he was. You know, Atlanta Braves, you know, they're hanging on with bullpen problems. So it seems like, you know, it seems like every team that's getting the postseason actually was locked down bullpen by anybody.
Yeah, and that's. With the Astros, they, as John mentioned, they tried to address it. I mean, they added three pitchers before trade deadline, and really, it's still been inconsistent for them. But I want to switch to the lineup. Where would you rank the Astros lineup right now amongst the other lineups in Major League Baseball, knowing what they have from, you know, 1 through 9? Where would you rank the Astros lineup amongst the playoff teams?
Well, you know, when Brantley's in the lineup, you know, when he gets healthy, you know, I probably rank it first. Just they put the ball in play, you know, strike out. They do the little things. And, you know, I know the Yankees, you know, feast or famine, they got the powerful lineup. But there's, you know, those days when they don't show up. You know, those days that look like the 27 Yankees. So as far as consistent bases, you know, I'm going to see Astros against anybody.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today Sports, with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. How do you see this White Sox-Astros series going?
You know, it's almost a coin flip. I mean, the White Sox are below 500 since the break. You know, they're not being the good teams. You know, the Astros came rolling along after they had it, you know, sewn up. I think it's really almost a coin flip. I like the fact for the Astros that they have the home field advantage. You know, they can hang on to that. That helps. And the White Sox look like a juggernaut, all of a sudden, you know, Carlos Rodon has been hurt. Who knows what he's going to do in the postseason? Lance Lynn is going for the Cy Young Award. You know, he's faltered. Lucas Giolito, you're not sure we're going to get. So, you know, very, very similar teams. They really are.
Yeah, no, they really are. Both offenses really, really good. Got some good starting pitching. With the Astros with Lance McCullers at the top of the rotation, is that a big enough hoss to carry you through?
Well, but in the way Framber Valdez is pitching too, I mean, both those guys. You know, McCullers, you're never quite sure what you're going to get, but certainly he's got the stuff to, you know, compete with anybody. I mean, in big games, big moments, you know, you put them up, you know, like they're in the Max Scherzer class. So I they need him. They need him to pitch lights out if they're going to get to the World Series.
Absolutely. How are the – it's just amazing to me what the Giants have done this year, Bob. Is this the biggest surprise of baseball?
Yeah, easily. I mean, they you thought they had one more run in them last year, you know, it didn't happen. You say, okay, now they're a year older. They're so deep and talented, and everything's going right. You know, the left-right platoon, you know, they got the 17 pinch hit home runs. So we'll see what happens in the postseason. You know, the rotation is good, but, you know, none of those guys really scare you. And they need to win the division because a wild card game against the St. Louis Cardinals, you know, they could be in trouble.
Yeah, this is really shaping up to be an interesting end, too. We looked at the schedule. I mean, you have so many teams that are battling for positioning and frankly, a playoff spot all playing coming down the, you know, down at the end of the season. A lot of excitement this year, and we've seen a lot of shifting and moving around, but it's so funny. You got the Astros, you got the Yankees, but it's been two teams, really, the Giants and the Rays, that have been consistent all the way throughout, and they're not the headline teams. They're not the sexy teams, but, you know, they have been consistent the whole way through.
No, you're right. You know, Rays, you know, nobody can tell you who's even in the sort of lineup. You know, the Giants with that bench is so good, but, you know, people can't name, you know, anybody outside, you know, the veterans on that team. So, yeah, you're right. You know, the Rays have been very consistent. Just like the Dodgers, in particular the Giants. I think that, you know, the Rays situation is funny. I mean, when they trade away, you know, Blake Snell, and then they let Charlie Morton go to Atlanta. You thought, okay, what are they doing here? You know, they're going to be off to a bad season, and they're as good as ever. And this might be their best team yet. With a return trip to the World Series.
Well, it looks like, wow, it could be Dodgers Giants in the first round, Bob. And it's amazing. And now you did go pick up Scherzer, but you lose to Trevor Bauer and you're still over 100 win team, the Dodgers. I know they spend the most money. It's not even close, but that team, you can afford to lose a pitcher like that and still be where they are. It's pretty amazing.
It really is. I mean, they never played here in the postseason. You know, they've had tiebreaker games. You know, Bobby Thompson home run and a best of three another time, but never in the playoffs. So it'd be a cool historic matchup. It's funny, as good as the Giants are, and they've been ahead of Dodgers pretty much all year. I would think the Dodgers would be heavy favorites just because of a Max Scherzer and the. Walker Buehler, Julio Urias, that's a tough trio. And, in Kershaw, Kershaw's not the same guy. He's still a Hall of Fame pitcher.
Yeah. Hey, listen, they better watch out because nobody can beat the Cardinals right now. Dodgers might not even get there.
I know. You're going to have Adam Wainwright, and he is, I think I saw him, 2.6 ERA against the Dodgers' career. You know, if you're the Cardinals, you probably want to lose a game or two here because you're so hot. You know, unless you're doing an encore act of the Rockies in 2007 when they won the 18 of the last 19 or 15 and 16, something like that. And it's unbelievable what they're doing right now.
Bob,
you know, good thing the Brewers quit is the Brewers go there next.
Yeah,
the Brewers didn't want to have the division still up in the air and then go to St. Louis next, and then to L.A.
I'm curious how you see the Astros moving forward with Dusty Baker. He's done a nice job over the last 2 years, done what they've asked him to do. I don't think that he is in it for the long haul, obviously, at his age. I think Dusty, his persona and attitude show you that he's just, you know, kind of, I don't know that he's long-term for this. How do the Astros look at this season? Let's say they go to the ALCS and they lose in the ALCS. How do you think they move forward with Dusty Baker on this?
Well, I think you give him a, you know, one-year contract with a club option, you know, maybe his option sort of thing. I mean, you got to let him get to 2,000 wins, and he'll get there next year. You know, all these turbulent times, you know, with the Astros on the road and everything else as far as, you know, what he endured. You know, I think he's been the perfect guy at the perfect time for him. So you certainly have to bring him back. You know, then you'll just let it become his call. I'm not sure if he wants to manage, you know, past next year or the year after. But he certainly wants to manage, you know, one more year. He needs to get to 2,000. He gets to 2,000 wins. He's got a real chance to be into the Hall of Fame.
This has to be the oldest matchup in playoff history with Dusty against Tony La Russa, unless Connie Mack and Casey Stengel went at it one time. I can't imagine. But how about these old guys? I mean, you know, there was some controversy about La Russa getting that job. And Dusty was a kind of a surprising pick a couple of years ago, but he was the perfect pick after everything that happened here. But how about these old guys taking care of business, Bob?
No, I think it's great for the game. I mean, it shows, too, just what, you know, experience matters. You know, you look at what's going on in San Diego. I mean, that's a you know, one of the most underachieving teams of all time. Took a rookie manager out of Texas, Jay Stengel. And it shows, you know, you can lose control of the clubhouse and things like that. Yankees, Aaron Boone's been under fire. He had no experience. But, I mean, there's a reason Tony La Russa is in the Hall of Fame. You know, there's a reason, you know, Dusty Baker's, you know, led five teams to playoffs. Experience is a big thing. I think guys are, I think people in baseball, particularly the veteran, you know, scouts and executives, are thrilled, you know, that the, these two guys are playing against one another. You know, both neither team would be in this position without Dusty Baker or Ken La Russa.
No, it really is. And look, Gabe Kapler, he was a mess in Philadelphia. And look what he's doing here. I guess what he learned in Philadelphia certainly helped him out going over to San Francisco, huh?
Yeah, exactly. You remember when, you know, Torrey went to the Yankees, he'd been fired three or four times. And, you know, well, the Yankees, the four World Series in 5 years, and it went to the Hall of Fame. You know, Terry Francona was a disaster in Philadelphia. And then, you know, goes to Boston and wins a couple of World Series and, you know, lights out manager in Cleveland. So, yeah, it's a learning experience. And a lot of these guys, you know, they're much, much better managers the second time around. You know, Bruce Bochy was a good manager in San Diego. Same thing. Then became a Hall of Fame manager in San Francisco.
Yeah, right. Well, it helps to have really good players, too, I think.
It's always a bonus.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think it might help a little bit. I think it might help a little bit. Well, we're getting to playoff time, Bob. We just wanted to check in, see what the national perspective was for our Houston Astros. And, you know, I think this is going to be a fun – I think these playoffs are going to be really good. There's good teams in both, and there's going to be some battles going on.
Well, there will be. I mean, I think the American League is wide open. I mean, you know, I think on paper, you know, the favorite's got to be the Rays. But, you know, otherwise, you know, who knows what's going to happen. So many toss-ups. You know, the National League, you know, the Giants are going to win the most games probably. You know, like you mentioned, if the Cardinals dunk off the Dodgers, you know, if the Cardinals get hot, is it getting hot at the right time? I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be fun on postseason as well.
Yep, this reminds me of the Colorado Rockies from a few years ago when they got to the World Series. They were red hot in September and then throughout the playoffs, and then it cooled off when they had a rest and the Red Sox beat them, right?
Yeah, you know, what the Cardinals are doing is just a reincarnation of what they did in 2011. I mean, they barely got into the playoffs. Wild card team, you know, knocked off Philadelphia first round, Atlanta second round, and then, you know, and then, of course, the David Freed game in the World Series came back in the dead of that game to win it all. So, yeah, you just never know. I mean, you know, October is the funnest time of the year in baseball, and that's my favorite time. I like spring training by the second best. Your regular season's okay, but just the October and this final week is a blast.
Around here, we call that the Lance Berkman game, not the David Freese game.
Yeah, we call it. It's different.
That's
yeah.
The Lance Berkman game because Lance called Lance called it the Lance Berkman game. Yeah. We really appreciate it, Bob. Thanks for hanging with us, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
All right, look forward to it. Thank you, guys.
Bob Nightingale, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now, you want to bet on your Astros this week? You can do it. You want to bet on your Texans this week? I don't know that that's the best, but you can. I mean, that's your option. You can do what you want with your money. I'm not doing that, but okay, you can do that. You want to bet? The basketball season is coming up, but this is football. We love to play. We like a little something on, a little, you know, makes it the game a little tastier. Look, if you're looking for some action, mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. That's what we're doing here. Mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. You're going to love it. It's easy to navigate. The site is awesome. And, oh, by the way, they will double your deposit. Even if you're on the website now, if you're a client now, never been a client and quit, whatever the case may be, they will double your initial deposit up to $1,000 right now at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. You want to play, you want to win, you want to get paid, there's one place to go, mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
One thing that could really push the U.S. team was Scotty going out and beating their best player.
That was huge.
Yeah, it was huge.
That was...
What did he say?
Hey, no one knows because he was wasted.
Scalgi?
Scotty. That's Scotty Scheffler who beat John Rahm in the singles match.
Yeah.
In the matches yesterday.
Beating the Rahmer is not easy.
Rahm was awesome this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
He was unbelievable. And for Scotty Scheffler, now Scotty Scheffler beat him in match play earlier, and now he beat him again. I mean, John Rahm's his bitch. Okay?
Yeah.
So I hate to say it like that, but sorry. John Rahm was unbelievable. Every match that he played, he was undefeated in all of his matches. And the United States was dominating. He was the only one that was playing. He and Sergio together were a great team, the Spanish team. Reminded you of the days of Seve and Jose Maria. But it was just great fun. And you know who else was dominant? It was Dustin Johnson. And listen to this. Here's one, because Dustin's the oldest guy. All of the guys were up on the podium, all up on the stage, and Dustin Johnson had the microphone, and here was the question.
You being the oldest player on the team, do you think you still have the stamina to out-party all these guys tonight?
Absolutely. Next question.
He was going to say absolutely.
Hold your liquor.
Yeah.
How long had he been drinking?
Well, there's a picture of him with the giant, champagne bottle.
I didn't see it.
Just chugging it. Yeah. So... He was feeling pretty good. What was great was on Saturday, Justin Thomas and Daniel Berger weren't playing in the afternoon match after they had won their match in the morning. I'm not sure if Berger even won, but I think JT did. Whatever the case may be, the U.S. was way up. They were up 9-3, and those two weren't playing, so they went out on the first tee. And they were chugging beers with the fans in the stands. I'll tell you.
That's pretty cool.
It is.
Yeah.
It's the best atmosphere in all.
It matters to these guys, too, which is what I like. It matters to both sides.
Yeah.
Like somebody, it matters.
Somebody tossed a beer to Xander Schauffele on, was it Saturday or Sunday? And he just
downed it.
Oh, yeah.
He was walking between holes. Everybody was,
That's just...
Every golf tournament needs to be like this.
Yes. No. Well, it's hard. It's hard. It really does mean something.
As long as you're winning.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can chug. You lose.
No. Well, you know, it was funny because there was a video of the European team when they were getting their ass kicked. It was 11-5 the night before the singles matches. And they were all part. They were singing Sweet Caroline, and they were all drunk. You know, maybe that's why they played the way they did. Or, you know, I want to say that one of the caddies posted it. So it might have been just the caddies who were just wasted. But who cares if caddies are wasted? Anyway, so just a great weekend for America. And, you know, screw Europe. Well, you know what I always say? Screw Europe. So
you do always say that.
I do. No. I'm serious. Screw Europe. Because the French are there.
You know what's next? We end up beating England in the World Cup.
Oh.
That's going to be next. We're going to beat you at your sport, too. Well, golf was originally your sport also.
Yeah. Yeah. Started in Scotland. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll beat you at the Ryder Cup. Then we're going to come beat you in the World Cup. That should be easy enough, as they call it. Huh? And, yeah. Right. So that's going to be even better. We'll beat you. Try to play us in baseball. I dare you to play us in the Olympics in baseball. Watch what's going to happen to you when Shane Bass is pitching.
I think the juniors hockey team beat Canada in hockey recently
in
some giant tournament. Because I know Fred was losing his mind.
Not a surprise. Let England bring their best basketball players in and play us and see what happens. You'll get beat there too.
Yeah.
All the great – and listen, I know there's a lot of great English basketball players. So I think that'll be a match. You know, it'll be a tough battle. But I think we're going to come out on top.
It's what we do.
Yeah.
It's what America does. I mean,
we continue our dominance over
England.
With the Revolutionary War, and it's ending with the Ryder Cup this year, and then World Cup. Alexander Hamilton. You see that? We did a whole musical kind of about when we beat you. Okay? We did musicals about that. And there's going to be a Ryder Cup musical coming out, too. Lin-Manuel Miranda is writing a Ryder Cup musical.
Really?
Yep.
Crickets I heard up that next too.
I read that yesterday, so I'm pretty excited about it.
That's not true. 856 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I mean, Art was so excited. I'm sure he's excited right now. I was talking about golf. Golf. You know what he says immediately? Golf blows. So sorry, Art. Guess what?
Sorry, our country won, Art. Sorry, I know you wanted the U.S. to lose.
So sorry, Art. You're not even American, probably. I don't know what you are, but I do know this: America wins. You know who won? This weekend, I did, because I went to see Michael over Pete's Fine Meats.
That guy who won, the guy who picked up the prize pack, he won, too. Did you see that picture?
I saw that.
And his cousin tweeted me saying, look at this. I leave town, and then my cousin goes over and goes and gets this package of meat from Pete's Fine Meats. I said, you see how he does you?
Yeah.
You see how he does you?
Well, you know what? And it's just here. You know why he got that package? Because he's a listener of 97.5 and 92.5. Mm-hmm. And if you're a listener, you can win it too, because Michael wants to give it away all the time. He's like, hey, let's do it. Let's keep on giving stuff away for the listeners because he loves them. You guys have been responding. You've been going into Pete's Fine Meats. I'm telling you, I went and picked up a couple of steaks and some burgers, and they're just so good. Just so good. There is no better butcher in this city. You go see Michael and find out for yourself. You will love every product that he has. It's like it's his kids. He watches over it.
It's good to be able to go somewhere where you can say, okay, can you cut that? You know, I want the spatchcock chicken, which cooks so evenly on the grill. It's unbelievable. Can you do that for me? Can you trim these? I want this brisket trimmed exactly the way I want it trimmed. Can you do that for me? Absolutely. I mean, it's getting things done the way you want it. Eggs, bacon wrapped quail, shrimp. They have shrimp there. Anything that you're looking for. Pork chops, bone-in pork chops. They've got it at Pete's Fine Meats. Chimney Rock in Richmond. It's Pete's Fine Meats.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports.